Welcome once again to Inside Albany. It's a political program paid for by Marge Burns, Assemblywoman, who happens coincidentally to just be in the studio with us here this morning. Hey, Congresswoman. Excuse me, Assemblywoman.
Uh-oh.
We were talking about a Congresswoman before we went on the air. And at my advanced age, I just kind of like crossed those wires. How you doing?
I'm very well. Claudia Tenney will be out for me now.
Great. She's hearing footsteps.
Yes. But it's kind of funny because I've actually been called Congresswoman before. So who knows? Maybe there, after I do get out of the Assembly at some point in the future, there will be other plans down the road.
Maybe.
But we won't get the current Congresswoman too nervous right now.
Yeah, maybe that fits. Interesting. Anyway, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the New York State budget. Last month when I was here, we had discussed a little bit the executive budget. That's the first step in the process, is that the governor puts together her proposed budget. Now, within the last week or two, the Assembly and the Senate have put together their proposed budgets. They call them one house budgets. And now at this point, between now and April 1st or as soon thereafter as a decision is made on the final budget, you have the proverbial three people in a room,
yeah.
The head, you know, the governor and the head of the Assembly and the Senate, as they and their upper echelon work out the details on what the final budget will be.
Just as a point of curiosity, how much did the House and assembly, you know, the Senate and Assembly versions of the budget ever resemble each other at all, or are they like widely divergent?
This year, they are pretty close to each other. There are some differences, but nothing truly appreciable. And both of them came in. Well, here's something I find a little bit shocking. I'm just completing my sixth year. But just in the last 5 years, the budget for the state of New York has gone up like $73 billion from where it started to where it's proposed to be right now. Last year, I think it was about, $230-ish billion was the budget. This year, the governor's proposed budget was a billion more than last year, but the one house budgets, the wish, for lack of a better expression, the wish list of what the Assembly Democrats and the Senate Democrats want is coming in at $14 billion more than even what the governor had proposed in her executive budget.
Makes your blood run cold.
It does. I mean, they came out, each of them, with budgets of approximately $245 billion. It's just astronomical. And again, that's $73 billion over where I started just a few years ago, being as a member of the Assembly. It's astronomical how they have jacked this up.
When I first started paying attention to this back in the Pataki days, I remember when we hit the $100 billion mark. That's like the good old days, mm-hmm. right?
No, it is, and it's frightening. And, you know, the dollar amounts that they throw around without even thinking about the consequences, it really is very frightening. I mean, they're looking at $2.4 billion at a minimum. We know it's going to go up for the illegal immigrants in New York City because it's not going – none of the money is really going outside of New York City.
Didn't Mayor Adams say something about he wanted $6 billion?
He wants more and more, and that's like who knows where this is going to end up when, by the time we get to a final budget.
Yeah.
But at least right now, what had been proposed is the $2.4 billion. Last year, it was $1 billion, and it went up to almost $2 billion. So this year, they're starting at almost $2.5 billion. Goodness knows where we're going from there. And also, just to really drive your blood pressure up – anyone who is an illegal immigrant will qualify for the essential plan in New York State. So they will have health insurance.
Okay, great.
Yep, so they'll be able to have health insurance.
Now, tell me if you're hearing this. You got your ear to the ground, as always, Marge. Whether it's $1 billion or $2 billion or $6 billion, whatever the figure is, that is basically just to house and feed and educate and take care of these illegal aliens, right? Now I'm hearing this drumbeat of, well, you know, we've got to find jobs for these people so that they can support themselves. So now we're hearing this, like I said, it's kind of a national thing. But, you know, it starts in the blue states. We have to have work permits for these illegals.
Oh, no, that's one of the things they're also looking for. Although the governor does seem to think that obviously that she needs assistance from the federal government on this score.
Of course.
And can't just charge forward on her own. And that probably is true. But just because of all the taxes and all the different things that would be required anytime there's a payroll type of deal. But they absolutely believe it's the federal government needs to intercede, needs to make sure everybody can go out and work. And I'm not sure how many people actually want to work. Right now, they have free housing. Very few people are being thrown out of places that they get into, once they've secured a place. And people with families and kids can stay longer than ones who are single individuals. So this is going to be a downward spiral. Even the governor, when she did her State of the State message earlier this year, conceded that this is not any short-term problem that has a potential conclusion. This is going to be ongoing for forever.
This is the legacy of the Biden administration Democrats, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks very much. Yeah, we're going to be dealing with this. Our kids are going to be dealing with us. Our grandkids are going to be dealing with us.
With invitations, though, from the state of New York and all the major cities who consider themselves sanctuary cities and encourage and want people to come until there's too many of them, and then all of a sudden they're shipping them out to us in rural areas who have no interest.
And then, of course, let's also note that Rochester, New York is a sanctuary city.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And while they're doling out all of this money to people who are illegal, which will also include college educations and things of that nature, the proposed budgets do nothing to look at the issues that we care about so much. There is no changes to the raise the age. There's no changes to bail reform that have caused so many major issues within our communities. Mm-hmm. And right now we're going to have clean slate, which will require our county clerks to seal criminal records after certain periods of time. The county clerks hold the records, especially on the felony cases. They don't generate the records, but they hold them. The records come from the county and Supreme Courts, but they're the holder of the records. But yet the county clerks are personally liable should there be any errors, even though they didn't generate the records, they're only holding them.
That's crazy.
And no money, zero money to assist the county clerks to ensure that records are properly sealed. No money at all to assist them. They're personally, literally, personally liable if they give out wrong information, even though they are merely the custodians.
If the progressive left wanted, absolutely was committed to destroying this country, to undermining the foundation stones that make this society work and have made this country great over 230 years, what would they do differently? I'm at a loss. I mean, I think you are too.
Yeah, we are driving the state into the ground. They have no appreciation whatsoever that upstate has a different way of life, wants to have a different way of life, and it is one of the saddest things that I've ever had to witness firsthand.
They don't care about us. This is a political agenda that they are pursuing, and it's all about power and money. And it's not just New York State. It's many other blue states across the country. And actually, when you take a good look at it, it's global.
It is. And it's socialism. You know, we like to think that we actually do live in a representative democracy. And that, you know, we are elected to go and to represent the people. But when you get to Albany, there are so many that are avowed that are absolutely avowed socialists. Mm-hmm. They're not just members of the Democrat Party. They are socialists, and they will tell you that they're socialists, so that they have no desire whatsoever to even try to improve the overall quality of the citizens of this entire state.
And let's all remember, folks, that socialism is communism with training wheels. It's just communism light. And that means a society where government is in control of all of the means of production and owns all the property. Look at what's happening to property taxes. The people in the city of Rochester are just going crazy over the reassessment.
Oh, yeah. No, and there have been a lot of complaints even through our area over the last year or so. Almost all of the different communities have engaged in a full reassessment. And unfortunately, it did come right on the heels of a big increase in the real estate prices. And it's hurt an awful lot of people. But on top of that, so you're paying increased taxes. You're going to be looking at the school situations. A lot of people move to a community because specifically because they're looking for the school district mm-hmm. where they can raise their children, know they can get a good education. But that is starting to become questionable. There are still issues right now with the budget. One thing that was good about the there's a lot of good that it's in the budget. When you're going to spend $240 billion, you know, there's a lot of money that's going in good directions, too. I mean, everybody's got something in the pot somewhere. But one of the things they did do is they tried to roll back on what the governor wanted to do with foundation aid for the schools, which would have severely injured most of the schools in our area, at least half in the state. And in both the Senate and the Assembly wanted to go back to the prior way of handling the foundation aid, which is the basic aid given to schools during the course of the year, and make changes down the line, but at least restore it for now, and then we will look at things in the future.
We talked about this a little bit on a previous yes. show. Is that the population-based? What aid comes to the school?
Yes, and there were a number of factors, but that is certainly was one of them that hurt our rural schools was the decrease in the populations. But so they were going to roll that back, but then the governor held a press conference this week where she dug her heels in and said that, no, she really does feel that her proposal should be the one that's accepted. So it does look like that is going to be a big bone of contention between the Assembly, the Senate, and the governor when we work our way towards a final budget. So that is not an issue that has resolved itself. I was actually hoping that if the Senate and the Assembly came out strongly the way I felt they should have, and they did, for the going back, at least for right now, to the former foundation aid formula, that we could work on it from there and that the governor would back down. But she isn't. She's dug her heels in. So it looks like that is going to be a major fight. But so there is still a chance of our schools losing a lot of money in our area.
Yikes.
And one thing that the majority stressed in our budgets, and I think on both the Assembly and the Senate side, is that they are not looking to make any changes for when the implementation of the electric school buses has to come into play.
That thing is still alive?
That is. They have made it clear that they are not doing anything to change the implementation dates. So that's another thing that is millions and potentially billions of dollars. All they tout in the state that the federal government has offered, I think New York City, like $144 million to help towards the expense of electric school buses. Well, that's nice for New York City. But also, $144 million sounds like a lot of money, but it's $500,000 for each school bus.
For each school bus, yeah, $450,000.
So, yeah. Right, so that now, so you're really not talking about that many school buses anyway, even when you're looking at millions of dollars. So these are also considerable stresses that our school districts are continuing to labor under. And right now is when they have to finalize their budgets for next year. So this is going to be I think it's going to be a very disastrous year for our schools.
You're listening to Inside Albany. It is a paid political program paid for by Assemblywoman Marge Burns here on the WYSL stations. We got probably about 12, 13 more minutes left here, Marge. Energy, of course. We're starting to talk a little bit about that. Also, health care. That's another scary thing looming on the horizon.
Yeah. One of the things that was clear in the budget is that there are going to be continuing efforts to attack fossil fuel, how we access it. One of the things, it sounds like a relatively small issue, but I don't think it is. I was able to actually take advantage of it. So I'll make sure everybody knows about it while it exists in case it gets taken away. Right now, you can still have fossil fuel. You can have natural gas installed at your home. And one thing I did over the summer is that my other half and I elected to replace our home heating fuel system with a gas furnace and a gas hot water heater.
You heretic.
I know. And by the way, they work fine. It was a wonderful thing to do. One thing people don't really realize is right now, the first 100 feet from the road, wherever the connection is, the first 100 feet towards the house will be paid for by the utility company. If you need more than 100 feet, then you have to pay beyond that.
This is a NYSERDA program, I assume?
It's been around for a long time, so I'm not really quite sure where it started. But they literally refer to it as the 100-foot rule. So we were able to take advantage of it, and luckily, living in the village, we were right at about 100 foot. So we had to pay for other things in the house, but not to actually have the line brought to the house. And that is still available. But that's one thing that they want to take back because, again, they want to discourage, they not encourage people to sign up for natural gas. So that's one thing. They are proposing all sorts of new fees and fines for companies that are what they call fossil fuel polluters. So if you generate anything, electricity, or do anything that creates any type of carbon issues, emission issues, you know, you're going to start getting dinged with different fines and different fees. To, again, everything they can to discourage, not encourage, the use of them.
Also discouraging capitalism, by the way, which is the mother's milk of the quality of life that we have in this country and anywhere. And one of the foundation stones of successful capitalism, which spreads, you know, prosperity everywhere, regardless of the socioeconomic status, is cheap energy. Cheap energy, of course, is what's most highly developed and is most available, and that's fossil fuels.
Yes.
This is an illustration, Marge, how out of touch this administration is. You look across all the news media in the country right now, everybody is talking about how the Green Revolution is dying. It's dying on the vine. It's coming to a screeching halt. You know, all these anecdotal stories about people and their bad experiences with having bought EVs, mm-hmm. and how, you know, they can't wait to get rid of the one that they bought, two, three, 4 years ago. And now these cars are aging out, time to replace them. They don't want another one. They want to go back to fossil fuel cars.
Right. And as a result, Biden and his administration are now making it more rules that they're placing on the auto industry in order to try to force them, the auto industry, to only build either EVs or hybrids and to push them away through regulation away from being able to generate a traditional gas-powered car.
And the auto industry is pushing back, which we have not seen before.
Right, right. But again, regulations and a lot of things are never even voted on by Congress. Things aren't voted on by the Assembly or the Senate. And we have this this entire bureaucracy in motion that operates on its own almost.
The political left.
Yes. Yep. And just creates these regulatory schemes that foster its own view of the world and not anybody else's to our detriment.
Yeah, I just want to wag a monitory finger here at everybody. This is what happens when you don't vote, when you don't participate in the process, when you sit on the sidelines. These people come to power and they can wreak all kinds of havoc on your life, some of which is irreversible. So get out there and vote and participate in the process this fall.
And it's exceedingly important. We've talked about it before. I don't know why people who own guns and legally own guns don't want to participate in the electoral system, but we need you. We need people who care about the issues that we care about, who care about fundamental rights, to step up to the plate in order to keep them. They are disappearing on us, and we have to fight for them.
We have a wonderful series of ads running courtesy of the Shooters Committee on Political Education, SCOPE, Monroe County. They bought this nice campaign on the station. You're going to hear these ads, you know, from now until Election Day.
Fantastic.
All through the summer and everything else. And they're getting in the face of these 7 out of 10 concealed carry permit owners who did not vote in the last two election cycles, which is mind-blowing. I can't think of another segment of the population that is more affected by these crazy left-wing rules.
And one thing, I hope there's going to be a huge turnout this year. There was for the gubernatorial election and obviously the presidential election that was before that. We really need Republicans, conservatives, independents, we really need you to take advantage, even though you don't like the concept of early voting. We need to take advantage of what you can do for absentee voting, because right now the Democrats have an ability to take advantage of these laws that they've put on the books in order to basically they can bank hundreds of thousands of votes before we even get to Election Day that make it very hard to overcome. And if we have bad weather on Election Day or there's a long line and you look at it and like, oh, my God, I've been working all day. I really need to get home. I got to get the kids. So you leave and you don't vote. You know, these are things that make it very hard to overcome that early voting. So we, as much as we may dislike the concept, we need to go out when we can. There's going to be a 10-day window ahead of the actual traditional election day. Get your vote in. Get it banked already. Have it in, right in where it can't be touched. Nothing can happen that will, at the last second, that'll keep you from showing up at the polls. And let's get that taken care of. And again, is it my ideal? No. But these are the rules that we have, and we have got to take advantage of them for our own benefit, or we will continue to lose elections.
Absolutely. Just think about this, folks. I mean, there's a reason why the Democrats are so in favor of early voting. It's because it works, and it helps them manage the election. I'm with Marge. I'm with most conservatives. We should have, I mean, in my ideal world, Election Day would be a national holiday. If you want to vote, you get down to the polls on Election Day and you vote. But those days are gone. This electric bus has left the station, if you will. And we better be on it because it's not going away. And there's no reason whatsoever to just hand this advantage over to the Democrats.
And that's what's been happening the last few election cycles. They have absolutely taken advantage of their ability, either through absentee voting, and not just in our state, but in every other state also, or by taking advantage of the early voting. And it's statistically shown. We know that most of the people in line at early voting are Democrats and not Republicans. We have to turn that around so that we don't lose votes by accidental reasons. God forbid that you have a medical emergency and can't get out on Election Day. We need your vote. So bank it ahead of time. You'll know it's there. And I really do have confidence in at least our rural board of elections so that I really do have a confidence in your ability to vote and to know that it will be counted and that it will help towards our goal of continuing to have liberty and be able to live under a constitution.
We really have to have an overwhelming, vote on our side, folks, heading into this election. We need everybody, all hands on deck. You got to get down there. And a matter of fact, Marge, I'm going to grip my teeth as I say this. I'm going to make it a point to vote early this year. I've never done it, but you know, because I always like the idea of going to the polls on election day. But I have to practice what I preach, and I've been preaching it. I'll tell you.
No, and I'll be doing the same thing, and then I'll be doing a Facebook post, and there's going to the whole Republican Party is going to be making a major push also, because it is so foreign to our concept of how an election should occur. But it's the way things are now, and we have to take advantage of all of the rules in order to come out on top, and we have to come out on top. The craziness in Albany isn't stopping. There was a bill that was just introduced a few days ago that would allow every time an inmate was released from prison, other than the fact that they also get their voter registration card, to get $2,600 in cash in order to help them reestablish themselves in society. I mean, the craziness doesn't end. And it won't end until we figure out a way to get our people out to vote and overcome this.
It's like a graduation gift.
Well,
congratulations.
Does...
You graduated from SUNY Sing Sing.
Crime does pay in this state.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Yep, and we got to protect our victims.
All right. We got about a minute and a half left here. I'm going to give you the last word. Marge, what else you want to chat about?
Just a couple other things. Well, by the time that we're back next month, at that point, we'll have the final budget. We will know exactly where we stand and how to approach the next year. But anybody who needs to reach out to me to express their views, and I'm getting a flood of emails.
Well, that's good to hear.
But give me a call. Area code 585-218-0038. Give a call over to my office. Let's chat. And I want to do what you need to have done in the state. Thank you.
God bless America. Thank you, Marge Burns. See you next time on Inside Albany on the WYSL stations. Also available as a podcast at WYSL1040.com.